a learner's approach to learning. By the time students reach medical school, they have undergone countless hours of instruction and acquired an unmeasurable amount of knowledge. Many students, clinician educators, and medical schools think extensively about the content of the material they expect students to learn, but the approach of how these students actually learn the material is an afterthought. Thinking about the way students learn and internalize information is critical if we want students to achieve their full potential and learn the material effectively and efficiently. Before we delve into the way students learn and how different approaches to learning can impact knowledge, I'm going to take you briefly through William Perry's scheme of intellectual and of ethical development. Perry's scheme aims to identify the distinct phases and positions learners pass through as they develop as learners. This will help lay the groundwork for thinking about how students develop through learning and can help highlight what we can do as educators to get them to the highest form of thinking and thought process, which will help develop their clinical problem solving. In Perry's scheme, there are four phases of intellectual development: dualism, multiplicity, relativism, and commitment. These phases are further broken down into 9 positions, with each phase occupying 2 to 3 positions. We will discuss all the phases, but note, by the time learners reach medical school, they have often passed into the 3rd and 4th phase of development. Dualism is the first phase of development and contains the first 2 positions. During this phase, learners think about things in a black and white manner. Facts and concepts are either right or wrong. The truth or right answer is absolute and is provided by the authority, which in this case of the learners is the teacher. This phase of learning is composed primarily of memorization of facts, and assessment of knowledge simply involves recalling those facts. Position 1 is defined as basic dualism. Here, students believe that all problems are solvable and a right answer always exists. This is usually the very young or beginning learner. The teaching authority or textbook exists to tell the students the right answer. Position 2 is full dualism. In this position, students are faced with the realization that there may be more than one answer to a question. Students in this position will defend their answers or the answer of their teacher because they were told that was the correct answer. The students may become angry with those who do not agree on the same answer because if you don't agree, that means you are wrong. In this position, if the teacher does not give a clear-cut black and white answer, it means they are wrong. As the teachers begin to provide students at this stage with the natural complexities of answers, students begin to comprehend that if they have to search for the answers, then maybe the teachers also have to search for the answers. This realization bridges the transition out of the dualism phase and on to multiplicity, the second phase of intellectual development. In multiplicity, learners begin to recognize that the truth is not absolute and that teaching authorities don't always have the answers. Thus, learners in this stage often see all answers and opinions as valid and equal. Position 3 is early multiplicity. In this position, learners see that there are 2 kinds of problems or questions: those with the answers we know and those with answers we don't know yet. The second type of question implores the learner that their task is to learn how to find the right answers. When learners realize that teachers and authorities don't have all the right answers, they wait for the teachers to give them to them. Uncertainty of the right answer at this phase is thought to be a temporary affliction that will be solved when teachers give the learners the right answer. Position 4 is late multiplicity, and this position comes with the realization that in fact most problems and questions are of the second type. Learners begin to appreciate that for those questions that don't have answers yet, they may never have the answers. Learners understand that they can no longer rely solely on their teaching authorities for the answers, which leaves them at a crossroads. This intersection is defined by the 2-way students manage late multiplicity, and the directions are often distinguished as position 4A and 4B. In 4A, learners grow to rebel against the teaching authorities, and students support their answers not only with facts, but with also their own experiences and anecdotes. This rebellion comes with the thought that since the teaching authorities don't have the right answers, then everyone's opinion is equally right and valid. If learners instead take the other path of 4B, they begin sticking meticulously to the rules, almost regressing back to position 2. The assumption of the learner in position 4B is that even though the teaching authorities don't have the right answers, they still control the answers. This leads students to give the right answer as the one they think the teachers want to hear. Both position 4A and 4B actually lead the learners to begin to think independently, and while the route is different, ultimately students decide for themselves what they think the answer should be, which leads them to the next stage, which is relativism. The overarching theme of relativism is that the right answer depends. Through this phase, students must learn to evaluate all possible solutions to discover the right answer. In position 5, contextual relativism, students identify that without context, certain facts and theories don't have any meaning, and it is therefore their job to gather contextual evidence to make a valid and sensible explanation for the answer. The teachers are viewed as people who simply have more experience than the students. Position 5 is the hardest for most students because they must truly confront their own autonomy of answers. Learners have known for a while that the teaching authorities don't have the answers, but students in position 5 have been holding on to the hope that they will. This can leave the students emotional and angry, leaving some to feel that actually nothing has meaning. This position gives students so much angst that most try to deflect from this stage by temporizing, retreating, or escaping from the position. If students cope by using temporizing, they will simply refuse to make decisions or commitments to answers in the hope that the teaching authorities will come back and give them the right answers. These students often are reactive rather than proactive with their learning. If the student uses retreating as a coping mechanism, they move back to position 2, but with an added self-righteousness and hatred of answers and opinions besides their own. This leaves them closed-minded and is often difficult for these students to progress forward from this regression. The last coping mechanism of students dealing with position 5 is escaping, which is the best of the three coping mechanisms. These students eventually come to terms with the fact that their experiences are what bring meaning to anything, and that they cannot expect their teachers to give them meaning. This propels their autonomy of thought and decision making. Students learn that they must make meaning for themselves, which leads to position 6, the committed relativist. Position 6 leads the students to see the necessity of commitment to an answer, concept, or thought. Students at this position have examined everything and deliberately chosen to adhere to a particular viewpoint, belief, or value, but not because they were told to do so by the teaching authorities. It does not mean that they discount the answers or thoughts of their previous teachers, but simply that they know teachers are humans and are fallible. The students' answers and stances on things are individualized and supported with both evidence and experience. Students can articulate why they chose an answer or position over others and have a high level of tolerance to other views because they can recognize that other answers have validity too. This is what distinguishes the position 6 committed relativist to the position 2 full dualist. This phase is where we really begin to see students develop their clinical decision making. The final learning phase is commitment, which encompasses positions 7 to 9. In this phase, learners commit to their answers, opinions, and belief, and the positions are an evolving spectrum that entail balancing commitments, learning to make more commitments, and devotion to their answers. Students in the commitment phase integrate reflection and ambiguity into their knowledge and experience, which ultimately strengthens their stances, answers, and thoughts. This phase is highlighted in clinical practice style. Clinicians and students see the validity in other approaches to practice, but are committed to practice in a certain approach.